This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4009 for Thursday, the 14th of December, 2023. Today's show is entitled Reolink CCTV Cams. It is hosted by Operator and is about 33 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is Operator talks about Reolink CCTV cams. You are listening to a show from the reserve queue. We are airing it now because we had free slots that were not filled. This is a community project that needs listeners to contribute shows in order to survive. Please consider recording a show for Hacker Public Radio.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. Apologies, probably one last time for the audio in the car. Hopefully I can tune some of that out. This one's going to be about security cameras, Reolink, and kind of revisiting that since hardware changes here recently. This all started way back when object recognition started to be a thing with Yellow and Darknet. This was before you had Ring, before you had any kind of services like that. Now it's all cloud-based or whatever. So I had like Python 2 scripts, believe it or not, to process images captured using Zoneminder, which is a very wonderfully designed security camera software. If you maybe had like hundreds upon thousands of camera feeds and you wanted to like really just hardcore get to the nuts and bolts of security cameras and motion capture and all that stuff, you would probably start with Zoneminder. I want to say they're working towards like a more user-friendly thing, or somebody else has taken their stuff to the next level, or one of the coders is trying to do his own thing because it's a little barrier to entry type of thing. But anyway, Zoneminder is for security cameras. You can set it up not too long, and I had a shell script that would pull images down and look for motion, I think. It would look for motion events in Zoneminder, pull a random sample of the motion. So there's 24 frames. These are MPEGs. These are images. Full, like, I want to say 1080p images. Anyways, I'm going too far into it. I'm going to go kind of quicker. Less rambling in the car here. So it would pull down images, and at first it was processing every single image. And usually with image captures or motion capture, they capture like a pre-capture. So like it sees the motion. Cool. I'm going to give you like 5 frames or 5 seconds or a second before the motion, so you can see the motion leading up to the motion, if that makes sense. So if it doesn't detect the person up until, half a second or 2 seconds into the frame, then you're going to just see them like, the top of their head or something. So a lot of them built in have like a frame buffer. So once they detect a motion, or they detect a person, then they'll back up however many seconds or however many frames and give you the option, and dump that out. So I had it processing every single frame, and I said, "Ooh, this is way too slow. It takes like, way too long to get a actual, disposition from without using GPU." And this is before local GPU processing was very easy. You had TensorFlow and very smart people doing that stuff, and I was not smart enough to train my own models or anything. So I got it down to about, I want to say 10 seconds per image, using a very large model. So the backup, real quickly, sorry. In Yellow, Darknet, you would feed it an image, and then you would mash it up against a model trained for whatever. The model I had was a pretty big model, because this tiny model was slightly slightly not as good, and sometimes it wouldn't pick up pets or people. And it was also really not that much faster. It was like the difference between 10 seconds and like 9 seconds or something. So I said, might as well, you know, eat the extra second and use the full model. But it ended up taking 10 seconds on a regular CPU. I didn't have a dedicated GPU to use, like YOLO with the GPU built in. NVIDIA's has a... Oh, what's NVIDIA's thing? Help me out now. NVIDIA has a framework for working with GPU processing. Anyways, CUDA, Jesus. CUDA supports with Darknet YOLO, so you can feed it to a chipset that video chipset that supports CUDA, and you can significantly reduce the time it takes to you can load up the model. And my onboard GPU wasn't fast enough to load up even the tiny model into its RAM. You needed like, I don't know, like 8 gigs or like, you know, you needed like some 10 gigs or something of video RAM to load up the model into your GPU. So I was using CPU and it was taking 10 seconds. So I picked random frames. And then I had, like, all these throttles built in because, like, bugs and spider webs would get on the thing. And then it would, like, rain. And then, like, when it would rain, sometimes it would back up the motion for, like, hours. So I'd wake up and then, like, you know, like, 2 hours later, I'd get an event that, like, you know, a bug was on the screen or something. And it would be from, like, 3 a.m. So I knew that if it rained, you know, I knew that if I got a very late notification, it was because it was raining or there's a spider web. So it was kind of a mess managing all of that manually with JavaScripting. I had thresholds built up. Sometimes the feed would get all squirrely, so I'd have to like actually hard reset the, not hard reset, but power cycle the cameras for it to fix itself. I don't know if it was a Zoneminder feed thing or what. I never could figure it out. So there was all this weird, crazy shit I did in my Zoneminder scripts. Nowadays, fast forward, not even 5 years later, maybe 10 years later, not even that, now Reolink, entry-level home cameras, have built-in object recognition, and it is pretty good. The cameras I first purchased were, I think they were HD. I don't know what HD is. It's not 4K, but it's, I guess, up to 420 or 1080, I want to say. The lighting on it wasn't great, but, you know, it worked for Darknet and YOLO, and I used it. And then when I went to go update it for Python 3, I realized, you know what, this is long in the tooth. This is takes too long, and it gets screwed up when it rains, and there's spider webs, it gets all confused. I just need to simplify this and get rid of this whole thing, because I'm not going to even try to update this code. Looked around, realized it. We had come a long way. We got your rings and your Googles and your object recognition built into the cameras themselves. They're trained on a very small data set. My problem is mine was trained on everything. So, like, the first time I got it, it was, like, 38% boat. I'm like, great, it works. But, you know, there's not a boat in my driveway. So, let's, you know, like an elephant. You know, they call my wife a pet or a dog or something. So, like, I had to, like, filter out anything that wasn't person, vehicle, truck, cat, dog, pet, whatever. So that's one reason why it took so long, because I didn't have a fine-tuned model or even train. If I knew how to train models, I could actually train it to my actual images of people and pets and stuff. But that's how you're supposed to do it. But they took all the work out for you. And I don't even know if they all use the same model based on the different field of view. So field of view is another thing I screwed up on. So the second set of Leo, first one is Reolinks, did Darknet, YOLO, all homebrew, like did it all myself using massive models on CPU-based architecture. There's much faster ways to do it now. You can spend like $60 and get like an offloaded like FIM to sell or a FIM card or something from Google that'll do like GPU sort of stuff, like lightning feeds. I think they're like, you know, anywhere from like 80 to like 100 something bucks, and you can send it to that. It's essentially like what the kids were using for cracking cryptocurrency stuff, using like these specific, it wasn't CUDA, it wasn't GPU, it was called whatever. You know, if you're going to like, you know, use like R and like do a bunch of number crunching or something, you would use these little special devices that were like made for crunching numbers that weren't CPUs. They were like, I forgot what they call them, F cells or F somethings. But you could like daisy chain them together, you know, crack. I don't know whatever happened with that, why they're still doing GPUs. But anyways, I started there. The second set of cameras I got were on sale, of course, but they were, the field of view was zoomed in quite a bit. And my wife had mentioned something about it when I got them. And I was like, man, you know, I set them up. I got them drilled into the house. And, you know, it actually is kind of nice because it'll zoom in and it'll like, you know, if it's zoomed in a little bit, you can see better farther away. But you kind of need that fisheye aspect to get more field of view because, you know, our front door is a front door, and it's not a one-way system. So you can come in at 180 degrees, right? So like people could essentially like just walk straight to the front door and not walk to the driveway and never be on camera. So, you know, that sat for probably 5 years. We got our deck, or not deck, our siding done. And of course I put the cameras right back up, and then I was like, you know what? You know, these cameras aren't the right field of view. They're too zoomed in. And then I realized I had purchased the wrong ones, or the incorrect ones. So they have, like, Reolink has the same. You can't even buy them on Reolink's site. They only sell the four millimeter ones. The ones I bought were on sale, and they were 6 millimeter on their website. And then they have a 2.8 millimeter, which is basically a fisheye lens. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm thinking, going back to my original train of thought, is I'm thinking maybe the models are different. So there's two problems with the setup I have now, potentially in the backyard at least. The image is distorted, right? So if the image is distorted, do they train the images on, do they retrain it and fine-tune it for the image distorted images, right? Or is it all the same model? Do they put a different model on that? I'm assuming, since the firmware is the same, the models are the same. And maybe it's trained on a very specific small set. I don't know what magic it does, but I have seen, you know, real-time stuff. This was 5 years ago. You know, I was watching real-time people do real-time on, like, a phone of people and face detection stuff. So I think with a small enough model and the right kind of know-how, and not a giant, massive, like, 1 gig model or whatever I had. So I don't know how they do it, but one thing is a distorted image, right? If it's fisheyed, you're not going to be able to detect people as easily without a specially trained model. Or maybe I'm crazy and stupid. Maybe the model works and knows that it's, you know, a distorted image. I don't see how that's possible. But maybe models don't, image models don't care. So you got a distorted image. Not on top of that, the backyard is a different case because I don't necessarily care about the backyard. It's on the corner of the house aimed at the door. So I guess, in hindsight, what I should have is I should have it aimed from the door to the from the door to the outside world. I'm thinking that the security camera should be at the door and then facing away from the door, so you can capture, you know, you do a fisheye lens and you capture everything. Well, the problem with that is it's not very convenient for me to run a cable like all the way to the kitchen. I don't even know how to do that, honestly. I'd have to run it to the attic and then back down through the kitchen, pull it through, like, you know, 500 feet of cable. So that's probably why I didn't do that. So I have it on the corner, just poking a hole through the wall. I have it on the corner aimed at the door. The problem with that is that these are wide, kind of wide screen images. They're not square. They're, you know, traditional, whatever aspect ratio is. And I got a lot of wide. I got a lot of the backyard, which I don't care to have. I would rather have the camera aimed down more at the ground and capture more below me, it actually almost catches like right below me and then some. So I actually had to kind of be behind the camera somewhat to get out of its view completely. So on not only is it nighttime, and it looks like poo, and the frame rate is not great. It's a lot better now with this camera. Same price, relatively. They're like on sale for like $80. The image is, not only is it distorted from 4 millimeters, so I went from 6. I went from 4 millimeters, then I went to 6, which zoomed in more, and then I went to 2.8, which is kind of a fisheye. So not only is it kind of a fisheye lens, I have it cropped up sideways. So my question is when it's doing object recognition, and I haven't tested it comparatively, I don't know what this guy's doing. He's on the side of the road. Decided to get off. Offset of being distorted, the image is also sideways. So how does your model, when it's scanning, how does it know that the human is like walking sideways? Traditionally, I'm wrong again. It doesn't care about the distortion, and it doesn't care about the orientation of the human or the pet or the vehicle. That's going to require some testing, but I wanted to at least, there's not going to be a vehicle in the backyard, hopefully. So I actually turned that off, or I turned the sensitivity very high, or whatever it is, to saying, look, there's never going to be a car in the backyard. But go ahead and give me, log when you think there's a cat, but don't alert me and send my wife an email at 4 a.m. because the cat's making his round. Neighbor's cat's making it around. So there was initially some noise around pets, but I do wonder, and I need to test the backyard for humans at least. So there's some issues there. As far as setup, man, going from the Reolink stuff to the new Reolink stuff, it was stupid easy. I had one live. I kept one live, and I just kind of looked at it and was like, that's kind of how I had this one set up. And I kept everything default where I could. Setting them up was stupid easy. I hear that they're all kind of the same chipsets nowadays. It's just a different UI. There's probably 2 or 3 different chipsets for user level entry stuff. But as far as setup goes, really think about it. I did some more tuning in the front yard because I think I got a lot of motion events because of spider webs and stuff. So I don't think that's going to help with motion. What you can do with spider webs, which I probably talked about this before, you can get mothballs and drill a little container in the side of your house right under the camera, or at least as close as you can. You want to have that around the camera. Don't touch them. That stuff is nasty. Mothballs are gross. Really bad for you. Wash your hands. All that stuff. So you check on them every once in a while because they do tend to evaporate. And if they're worth their weight, they will and should kind of evaporate. But that will help with spiders. And there's also some tips around placing them. I think you want to place them under something. You'll get less critters flying around, I feel like. If you place them under something, you also won't get the rain effect because the rain won't be close enough. So it's objects that are very close. I don't think there's any way to get around the whole insects flying in front of your camera. The only way to do that is to put a piece of Lexan or even glass between the camera and your object, but you want to put it far enough away. You want to put it far enough away to where it's not going to get gross and screw up the picture. But you're going to have to clean that lens, the big plate of glass you put in front of your camera if you do that. So I don't really know how to get around the bugs flying in front of your camera thing. But the mothballs do make a difference. I used to have to go out, scrub the lens, and generally speaking, I haven't had to do that all that much, even in the past couple of years. But every little bit helps. But I'm pretty sure it's the mothball stuff that helps. There's also like a trigger, so you can have a trigger on motion, and then if it detects a person, it will turn on the floodlights. There's a delay there, so you know it's night vision's on. It detects motion. Once it detects motion, object recognition kicks in. Object recognition picks up the thing you want to say is an object. Then it turns on the floodlights. Within that transition, it has to, I think it instantly adjusts to a nighttime floodlight profile, essentially. So it saves, hey, this is, you know, once you turn on the lights, set to this exposure, set to this frame rate or whatever, to get around having to wait for it to like figure out what what the optimal settings for the floodlight is. It's gonna know it's nighttime, can't see anything, you need to turn on the light and this move on to the floodlight. But there's like a, I want to say it's a good 500 milliseconds, half a second of transition time. So if your target is not in frame for very long and it takes a second to half a second to detect a human, and then another half a second to turn on the floodlight and see the human, you might lose your object within that time. But the nighttime stuff is still not great. If you don't want to be caught as a robber at night, just move quickly and just run around in circles, or you could wear a mask or whatever. But it's the holding still is what's going to give you the better picture. But I will say, once the floodlights turn on, you get a good shot. You get, close to high quality. It's not 4K, like it's actually supposedly, allegedly capturing. But it's good. It's a good, clean image. The problem with at least Reolink, I have a script on my GitHub that will pull down the full-size images. There is no way outside of the Reolink app. Even if you fire a burp suite, it like encodes, it's like this, so there's like one post on the internet about some guy decoding the encoder for the downloading of the images or whatever. They say it's to protect it, because like it's not on SSL is not on by default. So they're like, oh well, we are doing it for security, so that like, if somebody's trying to sniff the wire, they're not going to be able to like sniff your streaming packets of your videos. So that's why we have it all like encoded or encrypted, quote unquote. It's not. It's just so that you can't easily pull the data off using like Burp Suite or something. You have to use this like GitHub project to like reverse engineer the protocol, binary protocol thing that they use. So it was frustrating. They do, fortunately, Reolink has an API that's horribly documented on purpose to pull down the full-size images. So you have to like send a very very specifically formatted, like you can't even like put an extra carriage return in there or it'll throw up. And that's how all these like IoT devices are. It'll throw up a image or throw up an error. The way I ended up getting the API to work was just by like sending a tiny example request. Finally went through, because you can't record, right? Because it's all encrypted or whatever, you can't record an example session. But luckily somebody had a GitHub project that was like some kind of tool to download something or check the status of something, and I managed to finally somehow find one example post request to the actual camera itself to request a video download. And all I had to do is kind of reverse engineer that to give me like the right size image. So that's on my GitHub. You give it the IP, username, password, and it will give you the link to the full size image or the full size video. And then it will use like WGET to pull it down. It's not multi-threaded and it's gross. But it works, and it doesn't require the stupid, basically, adware that is the Reolink app. And even with the Reolink app, it does the same thing. It's encrypted, encoded this stupid binary protocol crap that they claim is for security, but It's because they don't want you using a third-party thing, and they want you to buy their DVR and all that crap. So with my script and like $89, I would probably stick with the 4mm ones. The fisheye is a bit much, unless you have a very small close quarters area, like a office. My ears are popping. Hold on. I'm going down or up. I don't even know. There is a, this is a windy road, so I don't want to hit any deer or anything. Between the GitHub project and a, like a indoors, I would use the 2.8. I do like it for the backyard, the 2.8 for the backyard, but it's gonna be hit or miss if it is gonna capture everything it's supposed to capture. But anyways, so with the Reolink 4mm, my script, you pretty much have free reign. You can put in a email address, and it will give you the low quality video version of the video and ship it to a email. Ship it from email. Now Gmail has by default, they don't allow anybody to log in to anything. I'll let this guy pass me because he's in a hurry. I do not want to ride that fast on a twisty 25-mile-an-hour road. Even with, the low quality, it satisfies my wife's requirements. And then I'll tell her, if we see something ridiculous. One time, I cut a tree down and the cat was on, I was outside, on a leash. And I don't ask questions, but is freaking hilarious, and she wanted the full-size video, so I had to, download all the videos for the entire day, because my script only does it by day. So she pulled that down. I used it for, Halloween to try to find a particular kid's costume, and then I realized it was kind of creepy that I was, recording all the children in the neighborhood. But, we're in a surveillance state now, so, all bets are off. So between my script and the embedded support of these Reolinks, you don't have to pay for any kind of, cloud-based whatever. Now, if you want it idiot-proof, buy your Ring. Buy your Ring and pay the $3 a month or whatever they want for all that. What I would like to see and have is a plate reader, which is fancy optics with fancy night vision cameras that capture high speed targets that are especially set up for high speed targets and plates. The problem with capturing, I'm going in semantics here, my idea was to put a license plate reader at the bottom of our driveway and face it one direction, and then put a mirror on the other side, and the mirror would project the other direction, and then I could capture two different directions down the street with a single image, single camera. I wouldn't have to face a camera in each direction. That was my idea. It has a creepiness factor to it. It also doesn't really catch up much because our house is off the beaten path. So we have three entrances to our neighborhood. So if I really wanted to do it, I would get steal some power from somewhere in the front of the neighborhood, mainly the lights. Then I would run that to a little Crouching Tiger Hidden drop and power an air card. So it'd be $20 a month for each site. So that'd be however much, $60 a month probably. I don't even know what the cheapest air card you can get nowadays. I probably can't even get them for less than $60 each now. So that's what I ultimately wanted, was to be able to track plates and cars and even people in the cars. So I could say I saw this, somebody goes on next door, the neighborhood forums, and it's like, oh, I saw a red truck and, the guy was drunk. Oh yeah, that truck has gone here and there within this many times, based on whatever, they live on this side of the street and they come and go. So they actually live here. Or tell them, hey, here's the plate number. For $20 a year, you can look up plate numbers or whatever, like for these data brokers, you can buy that type of stuff, but I could have it synced in to where, yeah, it would be fairly easy for me to just like search a license plate and get back information on, you know, the sketchiness of somebody based on their plate. But that was the other idea I had, which never really came to fruition because not a lot of stuff happens in our neighborhood. But, you know, legalities about that, I don't know. But that's pretty much it on the camera stuff. And don't pay a monthly fee. Just do real links and be done with it. Anyways, appreciate. Oh, a 128 card is far too much. I think I'm holding like 3 months, 4 months worth of data. You don't need 128. You might need 64, even for 4K. That just really depends on what your settings. But the default settings, there's no way. I was going way back. I was going like 4 months back. I don't know what it is now. But yeah, 128 is way too much. But they're cheap. They're relatively cheap. And as long as they're, you know, protected and you're not in a very harsh environment. I'm in Georgia, where it's pretty, the weather's fair. Just gets warm. We don't get cold. The cold is apparently what kills them. So, you know, if you're in a cold area, you probably want to get a nice micro SD card instead of whatever the cheapest one is. I got like a, you know, your SanDisk, whatever your decent SanDisk. Now you can get like aftermarket SanDisks that are like Chinesium from like Wish.com or Alibaba or AliExpress. But yeah, you know, I just don't, it's not worth it. Like, especially if it's something you care about, like security or your Nintendo Switch, and you put some wackadoo SD card in there and it like throws up and starts bricking you, and you're spending like half a day trying to figure out why it's not working, and you realize, oh, the SD card is like flaky and it gets all hot when you start using it. So, you know, it's worth the extra, you know, $20 you're going to pay for a real SD card that's like from a decent manufacturer. So that's the only warning sign I'll give you there. You know, I use a wire brush, but use a co-hanger with what do they call that stuff that the kids play with? The little fuzzy wire. I don't know. It's usually green. Whatever that wire is, and I'll wrap it around there, and it's like a light little fuzz thing. The dust to clean off the cameras if, you know, spider webs get in there. So, but they weren't really, they're not really that bad once you get the mothballs for them. That's pretty much it. If you're still with me, I'm still up, and hopefully I'll be able to make it home. Laters.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.